Good afternoon. My name is Melissa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the response to Romney foreign policy speech. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Deepaswali, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Thank you for joining our press call today to discuss Mitt Romney's foreign policy speech delivered today at the Citadel. At this time, I would like to remind participants that this call will be recorded, and by participating in the call, you consent to being recorded. On the call this afternoon, we have Neera Tanden, Chief Operating Officer at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Lawrence Korb, Senior Fellow, also at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, to be followed by Heather Hurlburt, Executive Director of the National Security Network, and Ken Good, the Managing Director for National Security here at CAPAF. If you have any questions following the call, you can feel free to reach me at 202-481-8181.
And thanks, everyone. This is Neera Tanden. I just want to set the stage a little bit for this, for Governor Romney's remarks. I think what's interesting about his remarks today is that he is taking on a tremendous area of tremendous success for President Obama. Obviously, the president has really taken the fight to Al-Qaeda. What's notable about Governor Romney's remarks is the fact that he does not mention Al-Qaeda at all and cannot address the fact that the president has had incredible success in addressing the one of the number one challenges to our foreign policy, which is the threat of Al-Qaeda itself, by eliminating in the past 2.5 years more Al-Qaeda leaders than in any time since September 11th. And obviously, this speech takes place on the heels of the incredible success of the killing of Al-Aqawi. And I think it's a statement of in itself that Governor Romney, in the midst of one vicious attack against the president after another, cannot bring himself to mention the incredible success the president has had and actually the United States has had in the war against and the fight against Al-Qaeda. That success takes place against the backdrop of a number of other successes in the recent past. Obviously, the president's strong and consistent leadership has led to the toppling and a changeover in Libya, the toppling of Gaddafi, and then changeover in Libya. We are in a phase where we have ended combat operations in Iraq. We had the successful operation that killed bin Laden, and we are continuing to see a drawdown of troops in Afghanistan. I think the challenge that the Governor Romney has in this arena, because of his lack of leadership and his lack of experience and his history of flip-flopping, is that he has to lay out a vision that is based more on personal attack than of the president and less on actual results or real analysis of the situation. And with that, I would like to introduce Larry Korb, who, as noted earlier, is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
Thank you very much. I'm going to confine my remarks to what Governor Romney said about the defense budget and the Navy in particular. He talked about, for the Navy, for example, that he said he was going to increase the shipbuilding program from 9 to 15. The great irony is that the level of 9, which Obama has proposed, is higher than at any time during the Bush administration. During the Bush administration, we built less than 6 ships a year. And so if he's concerned about the size of the Navy, it's not Obama he's blaming, because the Navy size is a result of budget decisions made during the Bush administration. Similarly, when he talked about deploying a national missile defense system, the problem with national missile defense as opposed to theater, which Obama is moving very aggressively with just getting the Turks to sign on to putting the missiles there to deal with the potential threat from Iran, is technically it can't work because with decoys it can be overwhelmed. He's talked about Obama has cut the defense budget. No, the fact of the matter is, if you go back and you take a look at Bush's last budget in 2009, he said that by 2012 he would request 544. Obama actually requested 553. Now, the budget is coming down, the defense budget, but that's as a part of the deal that Obama worked with the Republicans in Congress to raise the debt ceiling. If, in fact, you want to increase the Navy shipbuilding, the number of ships built to 15, which would be higher than at any time since 1990, the question becomes how much more would you have to raise the defense budget, and what would you be willing to cut? Let me leave you with this when you're talking about the defense budget. In 2000, we spent one-third of the world's military expenditures, and we accounted for one-third of the world's GDP. Now we're almost half of the world's military expenditures. Even if you control for inflation, we're higher than at any time since World War II, yet we're down to 20% of the world's GDP. And if you're looking at defense, it's not just the question of how much you spend, it's how you spend it. For example, in the Bush administration, we spent $50 billion on weapons that we canceled. We got nothing for. And the cost overruns, according to the GAO and the Pentagon's own defense business board, for the weapons we were building amounted to $400 billion. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. It's Heather Hurlburt from National Security Network. And I wanted to pick up where Neera left off with the difficulty of challenging what has been actually a really successful national security couple of years in a very, very tough environment. And to my surprise, Governor Romney really went back to some attacks that we've heard from congressional Republicans over the past couple of years, frankly, that haven't really picked up any traction. You know, the Washington Post definitively said quite a while ago that actually the word apologize has never come out of Barack Obama's mouth either while he's been president or, I believe, on the campaign trail. So I was very surprised to hear the apology tour rhetoric again. I also think that on the question of allies in general and Israel in particular, it's really quite remarkable that 2 months ago, Ehud Barak, the defense minister of Israel, said he can hardly remember a period of better support from the U.S. And, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu gave a really, really heartfelt statement after the frightening events in Cairo last month, saying what a special debt of gratitude Israel owed to President Obama for what he had done in that circumstance. And, you know, people may not be aware, and Governor Romney may not be aware, that, in fact, Obama has met as many times with Netanyahu as with any other world leader. There have been literally dozens of cabinet-level visits to Israel. The biggest ever U.S.-Israeli joint military exercise took place under this administration, plus unprecedented transfers of technology and so on. So, you know, if that's what letting down your allies looks like, that's a pretty good situation to be in. Really, and more broadly, as people know and Pew has documented, views of the U.S. are up around the world. And, of course, this administration has been able to achieve more with our allies in areas like Libya, sanctions on Iran, than others had in the past. So, again, I think that that argument will fall pretty flat going forward. The governor earlier this week rolled out a shadow National Security Council, which includes a number of people, well, frankly, most of the people on it have served in the Bush administration and previously, so they're very practiced, his team, in the ways of Washington. And so I was frankly surprised that this speech contained the number of misstatements that it did. You know, frankly, the U.S. has a cybersecurity strategy that was rolled out with considerable fanfare earlier this year, and so it was very odd to hear the governor say that we need to create one. Similarly, I would assume that the governor and his advisors know the difference between cuts to the defense budget, which haven't happened, and cuts to the rate of increase in the defense budget, which have happened. I think if you're the governor of a state, that's the kind of thing that you learn. So I was rather surprised by that. And, you know, Neera mentioned that the word al-Qaeda didn't come up in the call. The governor has struggled. I think there's a real battle for the soul of the Republican Party on national security policy, and you saw that in the speech today. The governor has intimated that he would draw troops down from Afghanistan following the schedule that the president has laid out, or possibly even faster. Of course, there's a segment of the party that opposes that very strenuously, and it was hard to tell. Some of those folks are his advisors, and it was hard to tell from his comments today which side of that he would come down on. I think the last point that I would make, and of course I'm a national security person who wants people to talk about nothing but national security all day long, I was very surprised to hear an 8-point program from the governor that included campaigning for economic opportunity in Latin America and thinking about opportunity in the Middle East, but that didn't include, frankly, making it a day one priority to work internationally for U.S. economic opportunity. And, in a week where the president has submitted trade agreements to Congress, the president is working with Congress on standing up more strongly to China, another issue, by the way, where Governor Romney has been on both sides at various times, writing in his book that he disapproved of tariffs on China and now saying that the president hasn't acted strongly enough. I was surprised not to hear more in this speech about what foreign and national security policy can contribute to jobs and growth for Americans. And with that, I think I'll turn it over to Kent to finish up.
Thanks, Heather, and I'll just wrap up here, and I'm going to take on what I think is Governor Romney's rather unusual understanding of what leadership is. And I think we heard today why Mitt Romney is never going to be president. He seems unable to break out of the desire to pander to his audience and just tell them exactly what he thinks they want to hear. It would have required some real leadership to go to a military audience and tell them the hard truth that, unfortunately, the defense budget is going to have to be cut. But he didn't do that. It would have then been some leadership to tell the American people, if he wants to raise defense spending, where he's going to find that money. But he didn't do it. He spent a long time in his speech describing a world that is very chaotic and extremely complex and a long series of challenges that the next president will face. But he didn't identify a single hard choice that he would make. Everything was easy. And as we know, that's just not what happens. He seemed to allude that on the current trajectory, by 2015, the Taliban will have taken back over in Afghanistan. That's a pretty scary prospect. But all he offered for what he would do in Afghanistan is institute a review. Now, if he really thinks the Taliban is going to take over, a review isn't going to do anything. Again, he doesn't show any leadership. He talked for a long time about how Pakistan, with its 100 nuclear weapons, is very scary and threatening. He literally said not one single word on Pakistan after that. Again, he showed no leadership. This speech from Mitt Romney was very long on criticism of President Obama and very short on any substantive solutions about what's going on. I think Mitt Romney in this speech sounded a lot more like a pundit than a president. And with that, I'll turn it over to Christina to manage if we have any questions.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks to all our speakers. Operator, if you could compile the Q&A roster.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star one.
Okay, well, if there's no questions at this time, we're going to post the audio on our website, and that's www.AmericanProgressAction.org, and you can find the audio in MP3 format there. If you have any questions, you can reach us here at CAP at 202-481-8181. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.